Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
And welcome back to This Monday. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. You know the number, 347-308-8701, 1 minute after the hour on March the 12th, 2012. Plenty of news to get into today, but I'd like to direct your attention to my website, which is ReeseOnTheRadio.com. A story that was reported on early this afternoon, when I saw it, I was a little, I want to use the word, perturbed, put off in such a way. Because what baffles me is that no one had even bothered to report this story. Now, I haven't been back to my website since I posted it, but I wanted to make sure that I did. This is breaking news that the Obama administration has signed an anti-free speech bill into law. I'll give you a breakdown from this. This is a story that comes from the blog site The Destructionist. Only days after clearing Congress, U.S. President Barack Obama signed his name to a bill called H.R. 347. This happened last Thursday, officially making it a federal offense to cause a disturbance at certain political events, essentially criminalizing protest in the United States. Now, last month, the H.R. 347, the Federal Restricted Buildings and Ground Improvement Act of 2011, had overwhelmingly passed the U.S. House of Representatives only after three lawmakers voted against it. On Thursday this week, President Obama inked his name to the legislation and authorized the government to start enforcing the law that has many Americans concerned over how the bill could bury the rights to assemble and protest as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. Under H.R. 347, which has more commonly been labeled as the trespass bill by Congress, knowingly entered a restricted area that is under jurisdiction of Secret Service protection can garner an arrest. The law is actually only a slight change to an earlier legislation that made it an offense to knowingly and willfully commit such a crime. Under the trespass bill's latest language change, however, someone could end up in law enforcement custody for entering an area that they didn't realize is Secret Service protected and engages in disorderly and disruptive conduct or impedes or disrupts the orderly conduct of government business or official functions. The Secret Service The Secret Service serves as the police that protects not just current and former American presidents, but also dispatch to monitor special events of national significance, a category with a broad cast of qualifiers. In the past, sporting events, state funerals, inaugural addresses, and NATO and G8 summits have been designated as such by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Division that decides where and when the Secret Service are needed outside of their normal coverage. Now, What this is more or less saying is that the Secret Service, look, nobody knows what would be considered the Secret Service's jurisdiction. So if you ended up protesting in an area that the Secret Service just deemed theirs, you know what I mean? Can't stand it. We're protecting that area. Well, how am I supposed to know that? Well, doesn't matter. You're not supposed to know with the Secret Service. Hence, on the word secret. It is a Secret Service policy. We're telling you right off the bat that we are the Secret Service. What we do is secret. And where you are is illegal. So whether or not this is going to be broad sweeping or how banner this is going to be for people who plan on protesting, I don't know. But considering the political climate today, hey, look, have at it. But let's see whether or not the people in the Occupy Wall Street movement have anything to say about this. Because right now, the Occupy movement, they have a foothold on protesting right now. They're everywhere. And if they start being told by the Secret Service what it is that they can and cannot be, I believe that there's going to be an uprising. I don't think it'll ever get bad as Syria is right now, or Libya was over 2 months ago, or Bahrain last year. But I think it could get pretty hectic. We've already seen this Occupy movement become violent. And if the Secret Service comes in, if the federal government starts allowing itself to arrest people in areas that they deem is unlawful, or, you know, unlawful for them to be there, that is, what do you think is going to happen? I see stones. I see fired up toilet paper. And I'm not being facetious here, but something to agitate the government. Guys start burning stuff, maybe throwing a couple of Molotov cocktails. I believe that they're asking for trouble with this bill. But I could be wrong. But it's an interesting turn of events. The fact that it overwhelmingly got support in the House of Representatives, I'm a little baffled by. No Republicans stood up against this. Only two people in the House of Representatives were against it. I'm a little baffled by that as well. But here's the thing with something like that, and why I know that this could be a horrible turn of events for the Occupy movement. Because the Occupy movement, they are not really lock, stock, and two smoking barrels on one side of the political scope. We've learned that so far. They are not just all liberals. They may be a bunch of whack jobs, but they're not all liberals. And if they are liberals, they're so far to the left. They're communist and socialist, for lack of better terms. There's no way to lack better terms because that's who it is that they are. They've openly admitted it. The bottom line is if there's any group that's anti-government, they're those groups. Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say that these were the people who were the most anti-government ever? I see a strong possibility that these occupiers, which is what they're calling themselves, occupiers, not just occupiers, occupiers, that once they realize that the federal government is going to tell them where they can and cannot protest in the country that they believe they're already having their rights taken away from them, this could be a political nightmare. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to see violence in the street. But if it has to happen, it has to happen, doesn't it? There's been an uprising everywhere. And there are so many people in this country who believe that we already live in a totalitarian society as is. So this could be really, really horrible as a movement, and definitely on part of the U.S. government. But let me just change gears here, lighten up the mood a little bit. This report came out of CNS News today. Well, yesterday, I apologize. In Washington, President Barack Obama's reelection campaign is trying to make some bucks off of March Madness. Now, look, President Obama's gotten some criticism before. Look, what are you doing on ESPN with a bracket? You know, for those of you who don't know, it's the little sports bracket. 68 teams are picked. And then, you know, with a little pool, maybe at your office with a couple of friends, you pick the teams who are going to win all the way down to the Final Four, and then who's going to win the national championship. Everybody does it. I'm assuming other presidents have been a part of brackets. Hey, look, they all went to college. They all have some stake in, you know, to who their favorite college teams. So they all do it privately. But Barack Obama has probably been the most public president who did a bracket maybe two, three years ago, did a bracket on live television at ESPN on who it is that he thought was going to make it to the Final Four. And he's done it ever since then. He's had a great relationship with sports analysts on this subject. But this, because it's never been done before and he never had to do it before, this has been raising some eyebrows. So anyway, back to the story. Barack Obama's reelection campaign is trying to make some bucks off the March Madness with its own version of the NCAA tournament office pool. It's called the Obama Bracket Challenge. Visitors to the Obama campaign's website, which is barackobama.com, are invited to pick the winners of each tournament matchup. But the prize isn't much, though. This is where the eyebrows are raising. The prize, they'll publish the list that anyone else will put on there, right? So you publish your list on their website. Everyone who does better than the president on the website, anyone who fills out the bracket, is invited to donate money to the campaign. That's pretty much it. If you beat the president, you don't win anything but to donate money. So even when you beat the president, you lose. Or at least you lose in your pocket. But what kind of garbage is that? Does he really believe that people are so enamored with beating him in the bracket challenge that they're just going to pony up the dough? I mean, if the president beats me and I'm obligated, in essence, it's like your opportunity to bet against the president. Hey, Barack, I think you suck at the whole bracket thing, so I'm going to challenge you. I bet you I can do better than the president on this. Yeah, he's a basketball fan, but I'm a real sports fan, and I'll go up against the president. So I go up against the president. I register. I give my email address. Probably give my home address so the Secret Service can show up at my house in the event that I lose so they can, you know, come and get the money. Maybe break some ankles if I don't have the money in enough time. But you can't tell me that if I beat the president, then I have to donate. The deal should be if I beat the president leaves me the hell alone. How about if I get something in return? Maybe no taxes for a week. Give me something, damn it. How about something off the White House lawn? Something from the Rose Garden? Huh? A visit from Michelle Obama. Maybe she can cook something in the kitchen, some low-carb dinner. Okay, I thought it's going to be taken the wrong way. I'm not suggesting that he send his wife out to go cook some guy dinner. But you get my point. It's got to be something. Somebody's got to win something. Now you don't tell me if I beat him, I owe you. It doesn't work that way. How backwards is that? He's got the whole gambling thing backwards. See, this is how I know that this guy is inept, or at least the people on his staff. This is dumber than the Giuliani group, with Giuliani's staffers trying to do a fundraiser for Rudolph Giuliani, where it was $9.11 a plate. You remember that? 9/11. This is just boneheaded at best. So I don't know whether or not this is actually going to be done. But for crying out loud, if it is, man, I mean, I want every comedian out there to ridicule him. I want his name all over the news. Whose stupid idea was this? And really, are you that strapped for cash? You promised everyone you were going to have $1 billion. $1 billion war chest. And now you're peddling NCAA brackets for money? Thank God the election isn't close to the Super Bowl. Maybe do like Baby and 50 Cent. Betting millions of dollars on a Super Bowl. Speaking of the folks over at the White House, this is an interesting story today. Let me scroll down and find this audio. Now, as you know, here at Reese on the Radio, we've been constantly talking and discussing about Michelle Obama forcing people to eat healthier. And that's what it is that she's been doing. This White House is completely out of touch. And even when they're caught red-handed doing it, they can't seem to admit it. They don't seem to tell the truth. And they're always doing something bass-ackwards, in my opinion. So to find this news clip, and I applaud this young lady, this child, for stepping up and doing something that the mainstream media hasn't even bothered to do, hasn't even thought to do, and that's ask a legitimate question. So there's an 11-year-old girl who's at the heart of the issue. She's a student, an 11-year-old girl in school, who asked Michelle Obama this question.
How do you respond to critics who say the government should not be telling people how to eat or stay active?
You know, that's absolutely right. And Let's Move doesn't do that. Let's Move is not about having government tell people what to do, because government doesn't have all the answers. I mean, a problem that's this big and affects so many people requires everyone to step up. So we're asking everyone to do their part. Parents have to make some changes at home, you know, but they need the information to be able to make those choices, and they have to have access to affordable foods in their communities, fresh and healthy foods, right? So we need government to do its part, but we need businesses to do their part as well. So,
but she's lying. She says, and let's quote her here. She said, it's not about having government telling people what to do, because government doesn't have all the answers. The problem is, this is big, and it affects so many people, it requires everyone to step up. But in 2010, President Obama signed into law what's called the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, a bill that, according to White House's blog, was particularly meaningful to the First Lady. And according to the fact sheet, the legislation gives government agencies considerable power to regulate what children are allowed to eat at schools. For example, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act gives the United States the USDA authority to set nutritional standards for all foods regularly sold in schools during the school day, including vending machines, the a la carte lunch lines, and school stores. It also sets basic standards for school wellness policies, including goals for nutrition promotion, education, and physical activity, while still permitting local flexibility to tailor the policies to their particular needs. And it requires school districts to be audited every 3 years to improve compliance with their nutritional standards. And in January of 2012, the USDA issued a series of regulations as part of the new law. Michelle Obama unveiled the new meal standards during a guest appearance of a Virginia elementary school, the new rules include ensuring students are offered both fruits and vegetables every day of the week, offering only fat-free or low-fat milk varieties, only, and limiting calories based on the age of the children being served to ensure proper portion size. So I played the audio again.
How do you respond to critics who say the government should not be telling people how to eat or stay active?
You know, that's absolutely right. And Let's Move doesn't do that. Let's Move is not about having government tell people what to do, because government doesn't have all the answers. I mean, a problem that's this big and affects so many people requires everyone to step up. So we're asking everyone to do their part. Parents have to make some changes at home, you know, but they need the information to be able to make those choices, and they have to have access to affordable foods in their communities, fresh and healthy foods, right? So we need government to do its part, but we need businesses to do their part as well. So,
and what Michelle Obama uses there is a very clear choice of words. She uses a very clear and consistent choice of one word. She said, because the government doesn't have all the answers, the problem that's this big and affects so many people requires that everyone step up. So we're asking everyone to do their part. Now listen to how she phrases it. Parents have to make some changes at home. They do? Parents have to? Do parents have to make some changes at home? Who the hell are you to tell parents what they have to do? But they need the information to be able to make those choices. Well, who's giving the information? The USDA. That's the government. And they have to have access to affordable foods in their community. They do? They have to? So to suggest that the government isn't doing anything and they're not stepping in there is an outright lie, especially when you say what people have to do. Based on whose standards? You have to obey the law. You have to follow the lights when you're in traffic. You have to give pedestrians the right of way. These are laws. Anytime anybody tells you what it is that you have to do, that means that you can't skirt outside of it. That's what the law says. So when you start telling people what it is that they have to do, and at the same time saying you're not forcing anyone, is a contradiction in terms. Isn't it? So even to an 11-year-old girl, Michelle Obama can't keep the facts straight. It's embarrassing, it's sad, and pathetic on the part of the First Lady and this administration. I've never ever seen something so abhorrent in my life. I don't even know what else to say. It's the argument is there. It's right in your face. We'll take a break.
By scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message. Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle. Minutes after the hour here on Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701, March 12, 2012. As I told you, plenty of news going on today. I'm going to get into some other stories about, the administration later on in the day. This story I found, I don't know. I don't even exactly know how to respond to this story. But the question of excessive force plays a huge part of this story. Now, I'll be honest. What I'm more angered by is the fact that I do not know the ethnicity of the people involved. But there's a town called Mount Sterling Village near Columbus, Ohio. And a police officer has been suspended because he used his taser, not once, but twice. He didn't use the taser once. He used the taser twice. The reason why this has become such an issue is because the person who he used the taser on was a 9-year-old boy. All right. Mary is drinking a beverage. And I purposely waited for her to put the beverage to her mouth and then said 9-year-old boy. And she almost choked.
Thank you very much. I almost had beverage coming out of my nose.
That's right. Tasered a 9-year-old boy twice. The mother was present at the time.
What did she do?
Oh, this story is so great, folks. It's so great. No, not because the 9-year-old boy got tasered. You see, this is what most people in the business won't tell you. A story like this, people in the news, people in the media business, they salivate over it. You know the old expression, if it bleeds, it leads. They wait for stories like this. The first question news directors ask if there's a bus accident or a shooting or a bomb that goes off. How many people dead? Anybody dead? Anybody dead? They salivate over it. So again, I'm not happy that a 9-year-old boy was tasered twice. Let me explain to you why this story is so relevant. Because, see, I heard this joke before, and there was an argument a couple of years back with two guys who were running for office where one opponent said of the other that his opponent allowed 7-year-olds to be tasered. And the question really was whether or not they should pass an amendment for police officers to use excessive force with a taser in the event that the child was putting himself and others in harm's way.
Okay.
So this is why this story to me is so relevant. Anyway, let me break it down for you. This story comes from the Columbus Dispatch. Officials in Madison County Village of Mount Sterling expect a packed house tonight when the village council meets for the first time since suspending Police Chief Mike McCoy and essentially disbanding the police force on Friday. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Mayor Charlie Neef issued the suspension after he was told that a village police officer had shot the 9-year-old boy with a taser earlier in the week during an arrest. Neef said McCoy should have immediately reported the incident to Neef and council members. He did not. Officer Scott Neal, who used the taser twice Tuesday morning on a 9-year-old named Jared Perry, did not respond to calls on Friday for comment. Village officials, however, released a copy of O'Neill's report this morning. The sheriff's office had requested an officer check the boy's South Market Street address because there was an outstanding unruly juvenile complaint filed against him because he was a truant from school. According to O'Neill's written account, he arrived at the home just before 8:30 a.m. to take the boy into custody. Jared, the 9-year-old, refused to cooperate and wouldn't put on his shoes and go with the officer. He begged his mother, Michelle Perry, to let him go to school rather than with the officer. But Perry told her son it was too late. O'Neill wrote that after the repeated warnings, he pulled Jared from the couch, but the boy dropped to the floor and became dead weight, flailing around. The officer wrote that Jared, who is listed as between 5'5" and 5'8" tall, and between 200 and 250 pounds.
What?
Laid on his hands to prevent from being handcuffed. 9-year-old at 250 pounds.
And how tall is he?
5'5" to 5'8".
How is he 5'8" at 9 years old?
I know, exactly.
I'm 5'4". I'm 37.
Yeah, I know. Wow. You're 5'4"?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I would be kind of tall now that I consider it.
A foot and an inch.
And he's 250. Well, at least up to 250. go on. The report indicates that O'Neill warned that he would use the taser and demonstrated the electrical current into the air as a show of force to gain the boy's cooperation. He wrote that Jared's mother was telling her son to do as O'Neill said or else he would be shocked. O'Neill wrote that after he shocked Jared the first time, he still refused to cooperate, so he was shocked the second time. It took both O'Neill and the boy's mother to get Jared to his feet. Once handcuffed, he was breathing heavily but uninjured, and Perry signed a waiver of medical treatment. Jared was taken into the sheriff's office and charged with delinquency counts of unruliness and his truancy for resisting arrest. O'Neill wrote that Jared's mother thanked him for his help. O'Neill said that he immediately notified Chief McCoy and that he for what had happened. McCoy has not publicly commented on his suspension. Perry has not been able to be reached for comment. The Madison County Sheriff's Office is patrolling the village while it is being sorted out. Council President Lowell Anderson said council will have to decide tonight whether to permanently disband the force. And I guess the force they're talking about is this truancy force. It brings
it was
in...
all because the kid didn't want to go to school?
No, because he didn't want to go. He was actually being arrested for more than truancy, for delinquency as well. But the question
is... He
was being arrested.
They came there to arrest him.
Now, look, you know, the kid weighs over 200 pounds and is 5'10", or 5'8 to 5'10". It's still a considerable size. I mean, it's the size of a man. I mean, JC, can you agree with me here? I think you have to taser this kid maybe a third time.
That's pro wrestler size.
What?
Did you say 280?
No, 200 to 250 pounds.
He's looking
250. Yeah, that's a big boy.
Yes, but for a 9 year old.
For a 9 year old?
Yes, he was 9. Now look, I have to look this up. Let me see if I can get.
Said he was 5'10" and 250.
I apologize. 5'5" to 5'8". That's the size.
He's 5. He stands 5'5" to 5'8", and he weighs between 200 and 250 pounds.
He's a baby rhino.
A baby.
Yeah.
Rhino.
Yeah, I happen to agree. I mean, I would have, that's impressive size even for a young man. I got football players when I look up the kid's picture. I mean, I guess there's a football player by the name of Jared Perry, which is the young man's name. I'm going to see whether or not I'm not finding many. Of the young man, I don't believe there's any picture of him.
And Baby Rhino.
No. Wow, it's just Baby Rhino. There hasn't been, I've seen no pictures of the young man. I'll see whether or not there's anything else on him. But, Mary, come on. 9-year-old, that size? Is that,
I mean, what was the kid doing? He was really just resisting.
Well, remember what he says. He said he falls to the ground
and becomes lifeless.
And becomes lifeless, and he's flailing around.
He's having a freaking temper tantrum,
which can be expected for a 9-year-old. But
I still have temper tantrums at 37. Come on.
Yeah, but even if that's the case, I mean, do you really still? I mean, I don't know. I'm considering the size of the young man, the young boy, for crying out loud. He's barely a young man. He's a young boy. Do you really taser somebody based on age or size? Does the police officer look at you and say...
Well, you should taser them based on their action. And if he was having...
No.
Yes, you use excessive force based on the actions of someone.
Okay, if you're saying that somebody is being unruly and they can be a threat, yes. But I don't think that if you were to see the average 9-year-old acting up in that fashion, that you would taser them. I don't see, I just don't see that possibly happening. Of course, I don't think I'm probably going to be able to find a picture of this young man, considering the fact that he is underage. But he used the taser on the boy, which I find, again, it's not, I don't know, it's alarming. But I don't know. In some degree, I find it warranted because of the size. And anything over 200 pounds and 5'5", I don't know. I'm going to have issue. Hey, you know what? Let's take a break. I'm going to take a break real quick. Hold on.
Where was this kid born? I mean, where was this kid born? Where did this take place?
This is in Ohio, near Columbus. This was reported on the Columbus Dispatch.
Hmm.
So this is a small town outside of Columbus, Ohio. And it says the officer said he warned the boy repeatedly before using the taser gun. It's all over the place. I'm actually looking at about 42, 43 stories on it, from the Huffington Post to NBC4. It's everywhere.
Hmm. For the record, baby rhinos are born at 140, so he's two baby rhinos.
Wow. So a baby rhino is that... He's actually bigger than a baby rhino.
Yeah.
We'll take a new controversy is brewing over a new Illinois law. If it's possible to happen, it could be really, really bad for you and your iPhone or your for your digital camera, for your iPhone, for your Android phone. The next time that you see something happening where police action takes place, there could be a problem where you can be arrested for videotaping the police. This is pretty great.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed a show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I know just what he's talking about. I look right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages.
That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. Terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it's black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House. Hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The police, I'm not joking. Reese on the radio, and we're back 47 minutes after the hour on March the 12th, 2012. I don't know, otherwise, you know, I don't know. It's one of those weeks that I have to honestly say I don't know exactly how to look at it. Because it's going to be warm, it's going to be nice for most of the week. I don't know if I'm ready for the spring to be here yet. There's summer-like weather all across the country.
That's kind of the day that I've been having. Like, I love the fact that it's warm. I do. I honestly love it, but I could not enjoy it today because I'm just having one of those days like, is winter going away? Is it gone?
It was barely here.
I love this. Well, I love that, though. I could deal with the cold, not the snow. But that was one of the days I was having today. Am I ready for spring yet? I don't know.
Like it came too soon?
Yeah. Like
it's not officially spring for a week.
You know, I think we're going to get hit with one of those storms of the century.
You think so?
By mid-April.
Well, when you say storms, you were clearly talking about like monsoon-like weather or tornadoes for that matter,
nor'easters,
right?
Nor'easter. A last hurrah winter nor'easter.
Right.
What'd you say?
He said he thinks it's going to be a nor'easter, like a big, like horrible storm that's going to happen because everything just happens. It's almost like the world is off kilter, you know.
Well, the world is supposed to go off kilter this year.
Well, yeah, please don't start
December
that.
December 21st.
It's not going to happen. The Mayans were horrible mathematicians. They were awful in that regard.
They were just good at
making
cocoa.
You're so stupid, Jesse.
No, listen, but no. It's weird because, I mean, the only measurable snow that we had this year was before Halloween.
Was that really?
We
Is
haven't
that
had
the
any
last big storm?
That's the only one we've had so far this year.
You know, it's funny. I was watching.
Oh, yeah, I was in Florida when it was snowing here.
Oh.
And I was in Tampa for that Halloween weekend. And I was in shorts in Florida, and I called here, and they were like, oh, it's snowing.
What was interesting about that, I was just watching a report where we're talking about how the record weather was everywhere. The average temperature this time of year was 54 degrees in Chicago, but it was in the upwards of 70 today. And they were saying in New York got an abysmal 7 inches of snow all winter. 7 inches of snow is nothing for a northeastern city.
No, but even for us here in Virginia, in D.C., I mean, we get you guys get, well, New York gets snow, we get snow too, you guys, like, you're there, you're here. But the last two winters here were ridiculous, you know, so I'm kind of glad that we didn't get anything.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be all that bad. I think it's just going to be an interesting. So I think it's going to be record heat. Oh, I hope not too.
I hate the heat.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. I'm hoping that.
Do you remember when we were kids? I think about this all the time. When you were kids, you lived with no air conditioning. You know, we had a couple of fans.
Thought you wouldn't survive it. I know. I
never thought that. I don't ever remember thinking, "Oh, I can't survive this heat." I was always out playing. I was always out in the heat. It didn't bother me.
I remember that
and
heat.
Now I'm like living without an air conditioner. I couldn't even imagine. And the temperatures were the same then that they are now. It's not like there's been some massive global warming.
I used to remember how hot it used to get on my in the house we lived in. We lived in a it was actually a one-family house. So in a house in Springfield Gardens, and I remember we didn't have air conditioning, and we had to keep every window open in the house just to get some air, and that didn't help. So it was pushing in with hot air into the house and just walking around.
Well, that's why you would put the fans in the window and blow the hot air out.
That, you know, never, ever struck us. It never struck us to do that.
Oh.
But it was pretty horrible to deal with. I can't stand hot weather.
Yeah, but then you'd hear Mr. Softy come by, and it would make everything.
No, we were poor, so if Mr. Softy came by, that was just another tease.
You were poor. You lived in a one-family house. I lived in I've lived in a two-room apartment.
We're still paying rent.
A communal bathroom.
I don't know how much. I just know my mom never, ever made it an issue for us to go get ice cream down the block.
Oh, no, my mother always let us go out and get ice cream.
Oh, she was not that generous. My mom was cheap as hell.
I don't know.
Just watch.
I think Mr. Salty took food stamps.
When?
I believe Mr. Salty.
I don't believe that one bit. It took food stamps in your neighborhood?
Yes. On Pleasant and Hillside.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, that was a pretty rundown neighborhood.
Well, that's where I grew up. Thank you. 159-11 Hillside Avenue. That's where I grew up.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So food stamps, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Food stamps.
Well, we definitely didn't have anybody using food stamps in our neighborhood. That was
You didn't have people.
We had people using food stamps, but not to get ice cream. It was very.
My mother used to send me across. I could go across the street to the Mi Patria supermarket and take $20 in food stamps, and they would give me $10 back in cash. They keep, you know what I'm saying?
How much in food stamps?
$20 in food stamps. They give you $10 back in cash.
Yeah, well, that I'm familiar with. I know a lot of places that.
My mother could go play bingo.
So literally, they'd mark off literally 50%.
Yeah.
For cash.
Yeah.
That sounds almost. I mean.
Now, if you were allowing someone to use your food stamps to purchase groceries, of course, your return was larger than that.
That's called a sweet deal.
Yeah, you call it a sweet deal, but see, I don't know this about the food stamp thing.
And back when I was growing up, there wasn't much that you couldn't buy with food stamps.
Very little.
Some people were selling beer, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, I was too young then. See, I remember as a kid when I had to use food stamps. You know, you had the booklets and the dollars. I even remember when we had the change.
I don't remember that now. Come on, you're not that older than me. Did you guys really have change?
We had food stamp change. They were little plastic coins.
Really?
Yeah, they were.
I remember that.
I don't. I'm gonna, JC, if you can find what that looks like. We had little coins. They look like poker chips.
Or like a half a dollar or something, right?
Plastic chips. They were literally like the poker chips, and they had the denomination on them. And literally, it was like Monopoly money. It was really, I'm telling you, it's absolutely crazy. It was only a couple of years after that, I think, to make it more cost effective, when they would give you food stamps back with regular currency, with regular coins.
Yeah.
We would go in
the store and buy something, but we would take a dollar.
Right, something
and
for
buy
50 cents.
Or a nickel.
Right.
and get 95 cents back.
Oh,
right?
You were really working a scam back then. See, I didn't even think to do that.
Why would you buy, what would you possibly buy for 50 cents at that time anyway? Were you buying a whole pack of cigarettes with the food stamps?
No, I think cigarettes were, yeah, you're probably
cigarettes
right. Cigarettes
were like
about 80
dollar.
Cents, maybe. Not about 80 cents, I remember when I was a kid. But I remember distinctly.
It was 10 cents to make a phone call on the payphone.
I do remember that.
It was only like a quarter to get on the bus.
It was a quarter on Sundays when I was a kid. 50 cents. I remember 50 cents during the week and a quarter on Sundays.
And then they came out with tokens and...
It was completely changed everything.
So,
but I don't remember
what they use now. It's confusing.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I don't understand. See, I don't remember any particular time in my life where people were using food stamps in a scam like way.
It wasn't a scam.
But in essence, it is a scam.
No, it's not.
You're buying
something
for a nickel to get 95 cents back.
Yeah.
And then you keep doing that until you had to change, and then you go get it, replace it for real dollars. That's a scam.
You just go to the movies and pay for the movies and change. I mean, that's what we would do. We were kids. My mom would give us $5 in
food stamps.
Food stamps, and then
each of you would take a dollar, buy one.
No,
$1.
I would just continuously do it with my own money, and they did it with theirs.
And then you'd use that money in order to go to the movies.
I mean, they knew what we were doing. They knew us.
But
we
it's a scam. It's a scam.
It's not a scam. We wanted to go to the movies.
I am not disputing that you wanted to go to the movies, but you converted food stamps
into
real
cash.
Currency and then using that in order to go to the movies.
That's not a scam.
That's a scam.
That's a damn good idea. You're just mad that you didn't think of it.
It's a scam. JC, any luck on finding what those pictures look like?
No, Papadita's like that.
JC, do you have any luck? I know it's out there. I want to see him. Like, I want to see him again because I wouldn't even know where to look.
JC?
No, nothing yet. Nothing yet. Working on it.
Stamp coins. I'm going to check on this end. And
look up like 1970 version of food stamps.
Yeah, this clearly was the 70s. That's what I remember. I remember that very clear. That it was then. It had to be around then. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Resort Radio on Top of the Hour coming up in just a couple minutes.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
A traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
Oh, the humanity. Oh.
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
We're back in Treats on the Radio, 1 minute after the hour on March the 12th, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. Well, trust me, we're trying to find Kool-Aid Man, but he is missing in action. He's probably got chores today. That's what I always say about him. That's an old little saying we used to have about James back in the day.
And I already know why, but we won't get into
it. Well, no. It was because of his mother. Because usually, to give you a perfect example of what life was like with James as your best friend since you're 12 years old. No, sixth grade, 12 years old. We met the summer before we went into the sixth grade. So I think my birthday, if not had just passed, it was coming up. Because my birthday, of course, is in the summer, as is yours. When James and I got older, roughly about 19, 20 years old, whenever myself and, you know, our friends, Derek, TJ, and all of us, and Jason, when we used to go out somewhere, we were about to go somewhere, James would be all set to go. And the general consensus was, get the hell out of Dodge before 6 p.m., because that's when James' mom's was coming home. And if we didn't get out enough time, if something delayed us, and James was the last person to pick up, his mother would be coming down the block, and she would immediately, Jamie, where are you going? And everybody knows that. That's the impersonation I've always done of his mother. Jamie. And James knew he wasn't going anywhere. So do you remember that old LL Cool J song, Big Old Butt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's this one line that that I revised as a parody of James. And I said, picked up the van, got the crew to go. Who did we see? Oh, no, it was Brenda. And when it came to chores, she would always remember, Jamie's got to clean it up. Oh, no, he's not going with you. Jamie's got to clean it up. He's got chores to do. See ya. So that was a running gag often. And if you know the song, you know, I've literally, like, it's to the letter. So that was kind of the gag on James. So even, of course, now he's always talking about how he's got chores to do. He'll never escape doing chores.
No, he won't. No. Not as long as there's a woman.
Not as long as there's a woman in his life. He needs to be single. Hey, JC, by the way. As long as there's a woman in his life, he's always going to have chores.
Oh, whatever.
JC, I actually did.
And as long as there are men and women in all of our lives, there will always be chores.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, JC, just to give you a heads up, if you go online and type in, go to images on Google and type in the words food stamp coin. And pictures of the food stamp coins will actually show up.
They're like pink and green and yellow and red, black.
We were talking about in the last break about the food stamp scams that Mary used to run.
Oh, my God. Can you stop saying that?
It was a food stamp scam.
No one was running a food stamp scam.
Transferring food stamps into cold, hard cash is a scheme there, Tony Montana. It's a criminal act, whether you like it or not. It is. It's criminal. It's not?
I'm done with you.
What do you mean you're done? JC, is there any other way to put it? Tell me how transferring food stamps that are eligible for food and transferring them into movie tickets is not an illegal act.
Movie tickets, beer.
Yes, exactly. You're telling me, of all these things, you weren't even old enough to purchase alcoholic beverages, but you knew you could. And let's not talk about
it for my mother.
And let's not talk about your mother's little what do you call it, bingo scam. given 20 to get 10 in cash.
Listen, that's how we roll. I mean, that's how everybody rolls.
There's a little Irish mafia thing going on here.
Listen,
yeah.
It rolls that way today.
Well, I know. Well, no, here's the thing. Now, the EBT card, was many people in the hood called it the Eat Better Tonight card. Or what's the other ones they use?
Eat Better Tomorrow.
Eat Better Tomorrow. Well, not much of a variation. Well, how are they using these cards now to scam? I thought it would be a little more difficult. Like,
sometimes people will just, like, give the person the card, they give you the cash, you give them the card, they go use the card, they have your PIN number. Most people don't ask you for identification. Or you go with the person to go shopping. So it's not like you can't.
So whatever, okay, now do you get a markup or a markdown?
Well, you probably would get $80 worth of food stamps for $100.
Oh, so it's a markup for you.
A markup because you're able, it should be a markup, you're able to get more food.
I'm not understanding. Okay, no. Who gets the upper hand?
The seller.
So if I have it...
Probably still the same way. The buyer gets the upper hand. So you probably get $100 worth of food for $80.
Okay, so I'll give you $80.
Who's getting ripped off in that hood?
What?
That's
a great picture of Barack Obama on the food stamp.
On the $1 food coupon.
Hilarious. Hold on.
Apple or Spindle.
Hold on. Now, wait. So you're saying that if you were to use my EBT card, you for $100, you go grocery shopping for $100, I would get $80 in cash.
Yeah, I would. I'm getting $100 worth of groceries.
You're getting $100 worth of groceries.
I get
$80 in cash. In cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody's getting ripped off.
Why do you think the money's getting ripped off, JC?
Yeah, I want
$100
in cash for $100
of food.
It's two for one.
No, what are you talking about?
It somewhat is. I have to agree with that.
The ratio
is
two for one. You get 50 cents on the dollar.
Right. I understand where you're coming from in this regard where you're saying, well, the person is getting cash and it's not like the money's coming from him. It's coming from the government. So it's not like it's in essence coming from his pocket. But no matter who gives me $100, I'm not going to give you $100 worth of something for $80. It just doesn't make sense. See, this is the reason why the hood stays poor.
No, it's the reverse. It's the reverse.
What are you talking about, Jason?
It's actually the reverse. She would sell me her food stamps. Give me $100 worth of food stamps. I would give her $50, and that would be cut and dry.
Yeah, but see,
that's even worse.
Yeah, that's worse than the original one, JC. She said I have the EBT card, right? She wants to go shopping. She wants to go shopping. So
right.
I tell her here, spend $100 worth. Give me $80 cash. But that would, in essence, I would be a fool to do that.
Why would you be a fool to do that?
You're getting $20. Well, how do you get the benefit off something I'm selling?
You can't take your EBT card and go spend it on cash items.
But that's what I'm saying. Right. I'm going to take the $80 and I'm going to spend it on cash items. So in essence...
If I didn't offer to buy this from you, or I didn't say, okay, I'm going to buy this from you.
You're stuck with the card.
You're benefiting from this. You're stuck with the card. You're benefiting.
You can't use it to buy what you want.
We're both benefiting, but you can't take that EBT card and go get yourself a carton of cigarettes.
Or that FUBU suit.
And if that's all you have, or you're a crackhead or a heroin addict,
yeah, but see,
you're going to take JC's deal at that point
Yeah,
take 50 on the 100.
But no. Here's my argument, and I get what you're saying because it's a valid argument. But see,
because I'm going to spend money regardless.
It's not
I'm going to have to go grocery shopping anyway.
I get you. No.
So you have to give me a reason on why I should go. First of all, break the law. Second of all, have to ride with you somewhere. At some point, I have to have some type of something with you. I mean, we have to meet up. We have to do, you have to schedule this or whatever. You have to leave me your card. Then I got to
bash
you.
No.
La, la, la. So you're.
No.
Give me, excuse me, folks. You have to give me a reason on how this is going to benefit me. Because if you're the only one benefiting, what's in
it? No, I mean, here's what it is. No. See, what I'm doing, I'm selling you this. See, it's true.
But I don't need it. You're selling me something I don't need.
I'm not disputing that you don't need it. I'm not disputing that. But I'll put it to you like this. It's backwards capitalism. And this is why it's bad. It's backwards capitalism. And you can't make anything off backwards capitalism. Because I understand what you're doing is, in essence, the only reason why this works is because someone is desperate. And the person who's desperate is the person with the EBT card.
Exactly.
That's why it's backwards capitalism.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one's arguing that.
So
yeah,
the only
person
that. So you're making the deal. So you're saying, I'm going to get $100 worth of groceries with just
$80.
Only spend $80.
Exactly.
But how can
or in my case, $50.
How can somebody be selling something and get the back end of the deal? That makes no sense to me. This
because
what
you're selling
I
is
get
desperation.
No, I get it. No. What you're buying is desperation.
You're buying desperation, but
selling too.
Again, Reese, you can't take that EBT card into the into the Corner Salvin's store and buy that FUBU suit because they don't take EBT at Salvin's.
I understand that. Here's another question then, and I apologize for sounding so naive here because again I'm looking at this from a capitalist.
Okay, but you can't. We're talking about food stamps, my brother.
Capitalism don't work in a hood.
We're not talking about
capitalism doesn't work in a hood. That's survival.
We're not talking about sitting in college class.
Remember, this is
we're talking about food stamps.
I'm not
the
talking
hood.
About death.
I'm not disputing that.
We're talking about you ain't got nothing else but some damn food.
I'm not disputing.
You
want
to go to the club tonight? If you want to go, you want to go to the club tonight, right? You give me $100 in your food stamps, and I'm going to give you $80. And you can go out to the club and have a good time. You may be able to go out to the club tomorrow
night,
too.
Here's my question. So who
can't get your hair done.
But who seeks out who in this arrangement? Think about what I'm saying.
Most people seek out people that they know. Family members, friends.
Okay.
The
EBT card is the one out there fishing for people.
And sometimes there's people that actually want to do that because if those people can do what JC does, or I'm sorry, what JC would do, I don't want to accuse you of being involved in any criminal activity.
I got a couple of good numbers, but go ahead.
Oh, we're moving on.
Oh, my goodness. We have a bad connection.
Go ahead. So, no, I'm saying
I hear people doing it all the time. Sometimes.
You got to take that?
Yeah.
Let me take that. I want to get more information on this. Mayor's got to take a separate call. I'm saying it's an emergency.
Listen.
I'm saying,
Reese, I don't understand what she's saying because. Up here, we get 50 on a dollar.
You get 50 cents on a dollar?
Yeah, that's it. That's the going rate.
If you got somebody with a food stamp, you have somebody with an EBT card, you tell them.
I can buy a $200 food stamp card for a buck.
Okay, so you can. Okay,
yeah.
So that's it. So what I'm saying is, okay, because they want the cash and they're so desperate. See, this is what I'm trying to understand. In essence, this is the part that you can't almost discern who the seller is here. You get my meaning? It's
right.
Like clearly, the person buying an EBT card has the upper hand. That's never worked in capitalism. I'm selling you something more value for less money. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like saying food has a lesser value than cash. You get my meaning?
Well, because you can't go and spend that EBT card like you can cash.
On food, which is, again, essentially...
No, not on food, because you're not going to spend the cash on food.
No, EBT. I'm saying the EBT card is there for you to buy food. You can buy whatever your limit is. You get $200 on your EBT card. You have $200 limit on your food. You're always going to get that. That's every month. Okay, fine. I'm not. There's no dispute there. What I'm saying is that if I'm selling you something, the advantage should be on me. It's like if you sell any product. I mean, if I buy a beer for $1.25, it's got to cost Budweiser 50 cents to make that beer. So therefore, the profit margin is humongous. You're the EBT holder. You don't have a profit margin. You're the holder. In essence, you're the weaker person. Because in essence, cash, well, I guess it would go into the whole Wu-Tang Clan, cash rules everything. But cash is so important. You are willing to sell your EBT card at a markdown. And you eloquently, at a 50% markdown. That's where I'm baffled.
Yeah, or if you still want that beer, rather than sell your card at a 50% markdown, pay double for what the beer costs. That beer, that $1.25 beer, and some bodegas will cost you $2.50.
It's because you're buying it on an EBT card.
Right, they're taking a risk.
They're right,
and even then, it's still at a 50% markdown because you're paying double for the beer. But
yeah,
then you still have the you know, the majority of your food stamps to go out and use. You're not trading it all for just cash.
Well, what do the bodegas do or the grocery owners do when they're charging the EBT card? Let's say
they
scan it, and it says beer.
They hit that grocery button.
Can't they separate that though?
They hit the grocery button.
Right. Instead of saying that it's beer, I can say that it's I can say that it's sugar.
Yeah, grocery, or just general grocery.
Right. I could just hit the word grocery.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering. I was wondering how did they get around that if they are indeed doing it, because it's of no risk to them unless it's an agent who's coming in who's using a... EBT card trying to bust the store owner.
Right.
So, no, okay, I can understand that. Okay, I'm trying to figure out exactly how this thing works. Not that I have any intentions of using it, but I was trying to understand. Because I don't know exactly, like I said, this is the reason why I know in the hood. See, this makes no sense, but it clears up a lot of things to me. This is why there's no money in the hood. This is why people fail miserably in the whole hood game. Because it's backwards capitalism. I know you guys are justifying it. You're saying, look, Reese, in the grand scheme, it makes sense. But you know what? In the grand scheme, it's not supposed to.
But in the grand scheme of those circumstances, under those circumstances, it does make
sense.
Yes,
but circumstances should never, ever change the role of capitalism. If I'm selling you something, it should never be at a markdown. That is backwards capitalism. That's what I'm saying. It's backwards capitalism. I should not be able to sell you anything at a markdown. Because the market is proved, and the way this market works, because it's bootleg and because it's illegal, this marketplace, in essence, and this is the reason why corruption never, ever works, in this marketplace, the buyer has the upper hand over the seller, which makes no sense to me in a capitalistic society. This is the reason why I believe that people in the hood don't understand capitalism. That's why they think it's wrong. Because if you believe that if you buy something at a markdown, that should be a benefit to you, that's ridiculous. It's a benefit to the seller, for that matter. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm glad we figured this out. By the way, JC, did you see the food stamp coins?
Yeah. I've never seen those in my life.
Never?
No.
I got background on those things. I remember when they were. I want to know when they actually put them out of business. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, I get where it is.
I remember when I was about 10 years old going to the store for my mom, and I remember finding a book of food stamps with $15 in it, $5 bill food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the store and
$5
What's that?
$5 bill food stamps?
Yeah.
You said five.
Yeah, $5 bills.
Said $5 food stamps.
Okay, all right, it was a mistake.
That would have been 25.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, it was three of them. And I remember I went to the store, and there was at the time that I fell in love with granola bars, and I bought every kind of granola bar they had in a little bodega.
I don't feel bad. I went through that phase too as a kid. When those things first came out, I thought they were the coolest things ever. I thought they were the alternate, like the second coming of the candy bar. My ass
they were better.
The week.
They were better. They were better. That was before they brought out the crunchy ones. I think I'm catching a cold.
My mom bought me a Snickers bar from that same little meat boppity-up supermarket, and it had maggots in it with a food.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're kind of going to ruin a damn good story in a moment.
Exactly. Anyway, let's take a break. When we get back, there was a story that I wanted to get into. I am going to get into it later. Facebook has got a lot of crap going on with it right now. ATLU's ripping it up, everything. But when we return, we'll get into that. And also, one of my favorite TV show props is Put to Death. When we return, we'll return to it.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested
Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you.
My favorite bitch. They are going to put it. They are going to put my favorite bitch out the pasture. Now, I listened as a kid. I sang that song every Friday night on ABC. It was my favorite show. I couldn't tell you how many times I watched that show.
Really?
8 o'clock. ABC.
You know what's odd, and I think about it now? I was a damn CBS kid.
You were a CBS kid.
I couldn't get into ABC shows.
No, see, you have to understand. The two shows on Friday that I watched the most was The Love Boat, immediately followed by Fantasy Island.
I loved that show.
I used to have a joke when I was
Glenn,
a kid.
Glenn.
And I would say, hey, Mr. Walker, and I would say, no, you'll have your peanuts like everyone else. M&M joke.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
So anyway,
I was a kid.
I loved the Love Boat, and I loved
And I couldn't watch either one of them. I couldn't stand either show.
I loved this show just primarily because I had the biggest crush on Vicky when I was a kid.
Oh, God.
And that was, of course, Captain Steubing's little daughter, Vicky Steubing. I was so in love with her. I also
Didn't she turn lesbian?
Pardon?
Didn't she turn lesbian or something?
No, she did not. I won't have you talk about Vicky in such a way.
What did he say?
Didn't she become a lesbian?
Oh, maybe she did.
No, there's no maybe.
Look it up, JC. Look it up, JC.
She's
look
not
up.
A lesbian. Anyway.
I thought I recalled that, but go on.
Anyway.
JC, look it up.
Also, the other cast members who, of course, were my favorite was, of course, the Yeoman. You know who he was, Gopher.
Gopher, yeah.
And I don't know. I can't say that I liked Isaac, but he always
of course,
had a grin
he's black. You wouldn't.
No. I mean, I like the fact that he and Gopher were best friends. Isaac and Gopher were best friends. You know, and I loved it. They were always best friends. I remember one episode when the two of them got into an argument and they weren't talking to each other. And I'll never forget. As a kid, that upset me because I was invested in both characters and I didn't like the fact that they were fighting. I didn't like them when friends fight. And that, you know, kind of got under my skin. Hey, look, I'm the
What happened to you?
I don't know. I'm the
guy. You grew up watching Fantasy Island and Love Boat.
Okay.
You know exactly when it was coming on, what station it came on. Even to this day, you can recollect that.
Yeah, 8 o'clock and 9
What
o'clock.
Happened to you?
What do you mean, what happened to me?
Now you're, like, just some hating, make everything in...
What are you saying? I'm a curmudgeon now.
Yeah.
You know, from somebody who came from such a... I was going to reveal something horrible about my childhood. I was going to say, I'm the kid who at 6 years old cried ridiculously at Snoopy Come Home, like weeping. I ran into my room. I told my grandfather I was going to go use the bathroom. I ran into my bedroom, shoved my head into my pillow, and cried like a 4-year-old.
Snoopy, come home.
Yeah,
I remember.
Really?
I was a real sensitive person when I
was young. What happened?
Nothing happened. I grew up.
No, something happened.
Nothing happened.
What was the tragic thing that happened that changed your life?
You're trying to blame it on something. You're not going to flush me out.
Who did it?
Nothing. Nobody.
Tell me her name.
Nobody did anything.
You know who did it?
Okay,
no dogs allowed.
See, her name is Nicole. I'll never forget her. Completely destroyed me.
Really?
Wrecked my life.
At 16?
Yeah, destroyed me.
What did you do?
Broke up with me. In the middle of a park. The worst. And
in front of everybody?
And I embarrassed myself even worse after.
Why?
Oh, yeah, out loud.
Right in front of everybody?
Everybody.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Most humiliating day in my entire life. And I was like, so completely devastated. Why are we talking about this?
Where did hard old man crusty outer shell come from? To this young, vivid, vibrant guy.
And humiliating myself. That's where it came from. I grew up and I no longer let that happen.
No, you put a wall up.
Now, you can call it a wall, call it whatever it is you want. I put a fortress up. But I don't do the touchy-feely, you know, chump stuff anymore. Anyway, bottom line is, the Pacific Princess, the beautiful female that she was, the Love Boat in and of herself.
A lesbian.
She was, I'm talking about
oh,
the
oh,
Love
I
Boat.
Thought you were talking about
the... No, talk about the Pacific Princess. I was in love with this boat. You want to know why?
Why?
One thing about the boat that always, about boats that always make me amazed. It's a city on the water. And I love that idea. I love the concept that somebody would build something so huge, the mass of it. And you could go there, and you can go to so many places. You just walk around, and you're just out in the water. And then you could just look out a window, and the world is out there. You just travel. Like a moving city. And that was the reason why I watched The Love Boat. And again, I'm pretty sure that either of you can't guess my favorite place that they would go to almost every episode.
To the deck.
No. Where the ship
they would go to Fantasy Island.
No.
They wouldn't go to Fantasy Island.
There was one port that they would go to almost on every episode.
Acapulco.
Nope.
What port?
Port of Mexico.
Okay.
Port
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Port of Vallarta, Mexico. Almost every episode they went to Port of Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah. Almost every episode. Because, of course, the ship left from California. And the whole idea is, of course, as you remember, you get on the cruise ship, you start off really, really in a tumultuous relationship, or you're single, and on the love boat, you find your true love. The only reason why you go to Fantasy Island is because your life sucks. And you leave Fantasy Island with your life being better. See, Fantasy Island, so you can live out your fantasy and then realize you didn't need the fantasy in the first place. And all it took was a Mexican and a short, I don't even know, what was Ricardo Montalban? Was he Mexican?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricardo Montalban, yeah, you need a tall and a short Mexican to teach you that your life was already good. And then they screwed that whole series up. Put up some fat guy and a blonde. Yeah, he completely destroyed it. Once Ricardo Montalban didn't want to do it anymore. Welcome to Fantasy Island. He was the best. Con! Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. So, again, the series ran from 1977 to 1986, 9 years. The boat was built in 1971 and originally named the Sea Venture. I do know that. But was sold to Princess Cruises in 1975. And had its name changed to the Pacific Princess. It made its last run in 2002. I do remember that. And sailed for other cruise lines for several years after. But according to the story now, they're about to destroy her. She is now sitting, oh, and I hate these people more than anybody. The Turks now own it. Bought it for $3.3 million, and they're going to scrap it.
Well, why would they buy it?
I don't know.
Specialized.
Apparently, they, what is it? They special, oh, they, it's demolition ship. So, whatever. They're going to demolish it, they're going to put it on other ships probably, but eventually it's going to be gone. So sad, we say goodbye to my beautiful Pacific Princess.
Oh, Aaron Spelling was the Pacific
That's
Princess.
Correct. Aaron Spelling.
Yeah.
And it's also the love boat.
A long time.
Yeah, the hotel, which came immediately after the love boat. Come on, folks. Didn't you guys watch television? I lived off TV.
No, I spent a lot of time outside with my friends, buddy.
Well, I didn't have any friends. Television was my friend. The reason why I know so much about television.
Yeah, cable guy.
What? That was the reason why. It's all I had. I had my television. So goodbye to my bitch. Goodbye, Pacific Princess. I loved you. I cared about you. I thought you were the most beautiful thing on water. You're the best thing that ever happened to me, and I will miss you. I say goodbye.
Exciting and new, come aboard, we're expecting you, and love, life's sweetest reward, let it floats back to you. Love, welcome aboard, it's love.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
We're back at Reese on the radio, 42 minutes after the hour on this March 12th, 2012. We're actually seeing my kid. My baby mama. Get on the phone. She'll never love her like I do. I've loved her for years before he even knew who she was.
Anyway.
She still looks good. I think King can't lie. She's still cute, huh?
She still looks good.
Yeah, still looks good.
That is such a tripping music bed.
What's that? You like that
that's
music
such
bed,
a
huh?
tripping, yeah.
Yeah, why am I forgetting his name now?
It felt like the 70s tripping off acid by Salmon River.
It's directly from the 70s, actually. Season
is
of the Witch.
Okay.
Season of the Witch. That's actually just a loop of it. But yeah, I love that.
Throwing your fishing line out in the water with no hook on it just to have a line out there.
You're right.
Well, you tripped off on mushrooms.
So that number is probably not going to be running on that Jill Whelan acting studio. I didn't even know where she said, where stars are born.
The best acting coach in Bucks County.
Where the heck is Bucks County? Is that near San Francisco?
I'm not sure. I don't even have to look further. But I mean, you see, it's in a house. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, wait. And they now have a new son together, two of them. Jill and Michael have three boys. Michael, blah, hosts Edgy. Jill also has...
Presently, Jill lives in Delaware.
In Delaware Valley. We don't know where that is.
That's in Delaware.
And
she's
Edgy
near.
No, she's in... That's not in Delaware.
Oh, Delaware. Okay, so she's in Delaware Valley, California. Okay,
oh.
She currently hosts the Edgy Hollywood Gossip News Show. Oh, okay.
Oh,
she's in
Philly. Okay,
maybe so she is in Delaware.
Delaware.
Wow. Okay. All right, so she's doing...
Bucks County in Philadelphia, where she teaches improv comedy. Look, she's only like 2.5 hours away.
Well, maybe I can go look her up.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so...
Jill, be careful.
Yeah, please. I'm going to go stalking her. But anyway, like I said, the love...
Oh, God, don't say that.
What?
Don't say that.
Don't say what?
That you're going to go stalking her.
I said I'm not. I'm not going to go stalking her. That was insane. I'll stalk people. That's craziness as that.
Yeah, but I mean, you see the pictures of her inside of her studio, right?
It's in her house.
Yeah.
No, I don't see the inside pictures.
The inside pictures of Jill's studio, they look like they're in her house.
With some Renaissance furniture.
You said that's Renaissance furniture?
That's what it looks like. Who would buy that pattern? Who would buy that pattern furniture?
I don't know. Apparently, it's her studio. What am I supposed to know?
Anyway. Well, look at her students. Look at her students. Am I right or wrong? Do they not look of Spanish descent?
Maybe they are, but there's nothing wrong with, you know.
Maybe she lives on the Puerto Rican side of town. The couch fits.
You know, why are you hating on her like that, man?
I'm not hating on her.
Please,
I'm not hating on her. I'm scared to go on a cruise ship. She spent 20 years on a cruise ship.
Not 20. The show's
well, she's still on a cruise ship.
Many years. Yeah, Mickey came many years later. In fact, a lot of people didn't even know that that Captain Schubing even had a daughter, and then they brought her on. What they, you know, Gavin McLeod? Did you like Gavin McLeod?
Yeah.
Clear as a $3 bill.
Always had a thing for older men, and look at that.
Yes.
You had a thing for Gavin McLeod?
No, not like I had a thing for him. I just
she liked him because
him.
He had a white suit.
He was
an older lady. Older lady. Yeah. Sure, no, I understand it. I can understand it.
Ooh.
You know, every one of the characters, there were no. Remember, think about all the television stars or television shows that you can think of. Most television shows had what was considered the antagonist on a show. The Love Boat, every character was a pro character. Julie was sweet. Gopher was kind-hearted. You know, Isaac gave great advice. Doc was always there if you were sick. You know, Gavin McLeod, Captain Stubing, he was there to run the whole ship. You know, he was sort of like the father to everyone. There was no antagonist on the entire show. How big? I couldn't think of one person on that show I didn't like. You know, you liked everyone.
Yeah, there was no.
The antagonists were the people that wouldn't initially get together at the beginning of the show that ended up together at the end of the show.
Exactly. Right. But even then, some of the characters who were on there, like Mike Connors, you know, she actually sets the records for the most Love Boat appearances. Charo, Gucci. You know,
Yeah, Missy Pippi. Yeah, Charo,
yes.
Missy Pippi. I love her.
You know, a lot of these actors, a lot of people call them out of work on the twilight of their career. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but the Love Boat was. The Love Boat, to put it in perspective, the Love Boat was Dances with the Stars in Days of Yore. Like, if you wanted to be on a highly rated television show when you were out of work, you went on the Love Boat. Because it's still a high Dances with the Stars. I mean, think about the ratings Dances with the Stars get. Sometimes it beats American Idol.
I don't like
that. And Dances with the Stars, I mean, look
it's
at the people
who are
dancing with the stars. Dances with the stars. I call it Dances with the Stars. Like the Indian tribe.
Exactly. Dancing.
Dances with the Stars. Whatever.
But see, I was a CBS kid. The Waltons actually put me to sleep on Thursday nights. I knew what time. What's that?
So Maniac.
What show was he doing?
Dances with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. Say it.
Dancing with the Stars.
Thank you.
I like calling it Dances with the
Stars.
But
that's not what it's called.
Whatever.
And it doesn't sound very good.
Dances with the Stars.
Dancing
with the Stars.
Thank you.
I don't care.
You
watch
that, Jay-Z?
What's that?
Are you watching Dancing with the Stars? Oh, it hasn't started.
I watched it when Wendy. The only time I was ever interested was when Wendy Williams was on there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I heard she was god awful.
Oh, in a fox
talk about Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, she is a giant. I can't lie.
It was like. And listen, I love Wendy Williams. I absolutely love, I adore her. I miss her on radio so much, but watching her on Dancing with the Stars was like watching Dennis Rodman in drag.
Listen, she was best when she was doing radio. I understand that everybody has to, you know, people have to move on and do what it is they do, and that's great. She got a syndicated television show, and it does well.
She's doing very well, and I'm happy and happy and proud for her.
But radio was her medium. For the people who listened to her, you know, they loved her show. They were crazy about her show, and that's where people are most comfortable with her.
Now she's more separated from her audience. When she was on radio, she was closer to her audience. And I know that as being a personality, but knowing what it is that she does. Wendy had a closer relationship with her audience when she was on radio.
Yeah.
When you're on television, it's so Hollywood. It's so distancing yourself from your audience. And there's no, there's a little bit of realness.
I mean, it's a good gig. It's a great gig.
Yeah, yeah. But,
but
what I'm saying is that there's a Hollywood tact that you have
yeah.
to have. There's a personality and a certain way that you have to behave. Wendy has to be nicer now, where Wendy
yeah.
didn't have to. There was no old barred Wendy, but now because she has to have a certain persona, you know, that's the way she has to do it. We just totally got off the whole.
Wasn't that Wendy? It wasn't the Wendy who went eight rounds every other week with Diddy when Diddy was on top
yeah.
of his game.
Absolutely.
You know? But I love the whole New York radio scene. I listened to it long before you guys even came to Hartford, you know. I used to listen on the web.
Yeah, when you couldn't get her syndicated. Anyway, okay. So when we come back, I want to talk about this Illinois eavesdropping law that actually, they're talking about trying to pass this in other cities, but an eavesdropping law has been ruled unconstitutional for the second time in a year. That's because they keep trying to bring it back into the law to prevent you from using, think about this now, they're going to try to keep you from using your cell phone to record the police. When we return on Reason Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats, Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
We're back at 3Sun Radio, 54 minutes, 6 minutes till the top of the hour here this March the 12th, 2012. Two very, very important stories I want to get into in the next hour, and I'll just brief you on them. One, I want to get into Facebook. Facebook is having two huge lawsuits that are coming against them. One is being filed against them by the ACLU, but the person behind it is a 12-year-old girl who's suing Facebook because her own personal messages were being used against her and the fact that her private messages were allowed to be viewed by her school. So Facebook will be facing that. And also, last but not least, Yahoo is also suing them in a huge suit that has to do with, I think it's a copyright law or something, but I'll get all the details. We'll go into that.
They just picked their IPO. They just
That's the whole thing.
It's all about money.
And again, you're absolutely right. As soon as they went to go register for their IPO, as soon as that's when all the lawsuits are going to come out. Also, Apple just announced today its total earnings. They are at $408 billion.
Is that their net?
That's their net worth right now. I do believe that they're a trillion-dollar company. They have to be.
I mean, was that their gross earnings?
I think that was $408 billion.
Was gross.
I believe so. I didn't see the whole story. I don't know.
Well, they're only paying people 2 cents an hour in China.
It's 17 cents. $17 a day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
$17 a day.
So
it's China.
Like I said, one cent.
Look. Hold on. Okay. Look. I'm not. Again, should China be paying its employees more money? Of course. But I'm gonna ask you this. Okay. Hey, look, they're a communist country. I got no argument there. But since we're bringing it up, let's look at it. They're paying them $17 a day.
17 cents a day.
$17 a day.
$17. Okay. $17 a
Think
day.
Think about this.
How many hours a day are they working?
Probably 12 to 18.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not disputing that it's a little bit of money. I'm not making a – I'm not defending.
You said what, 12 to 18?
12. Give it 16. Let's put it at
15.
15, fine. Right? 15. 15 hour days.
15 divided by – That is $1.33 an hour.
Okay, my point is, even though they're selling it, and even though that's the rate that they're being paid, here's my, and you're looking at me like I'm defending it. I'm not defending it. Here's the point that I'm making. Did you see how many people are outside?
Thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, are they dying to get in?
For $1.33.
They are dying to get in. They're dying to get in. They've got applicants in the hundreds of thousands a month.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they'll do anything for work. And some of these people out here won't even pick
tomatoes. Is that
anything
for work, or do you think that it's
for $17 an hour? What?
Do you think it's anything for
work? No, it's got nothing to do with that. They can't even afford
to. Don't you think that it being Apple has something?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
They
can't afford
their citizenship. They can go to the States.
No.
They could. If you
no,
really, you know what I'm saying,
they
you
can't
work your
afford,
way up from $1.33 an hour to
no, they can't
$5.
Afford the products that they make. The people who work there can't afford the products that they make. They cannot afford them.
Of course they can't. And the most expensive piece of equipment in there is U.S. made.
No, I don't care. That look, I just look at what the breakdown is. Those people are in there and they are dying to get into that plant, to Foxconn. They're dying to. Why they want to? Who knows?
It was like American Idol to the
yeah, exactly. It was that bad. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The crowd was.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It was like all of every audition that they do all combined.
Absolutely.
Right? In every city.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Top of the hour coming up next on Recent Radio. We'll return.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reach on the radio 2 minutes after the hour on this March the 12th, 2012. Here live on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. By the way, please go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's ReeseOnTheRadio.com. A very, very detailed breakdown of the new law that was just passed that is going to be barring some people from protesting at what the Secret Service can deem, that's right, the Secret Service can deem as a place where you shouldn't be allowed to protest. You can be arrested and charged with a felony. So when you get a chance, please, again, go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com so that you can look at that story. There is a story that I saw today that was, I don't know, it baffles me because I don't know exactly how you can sue Facebook for this reason, but the story says that it was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union, or the ACLU, and comes amid growing concern in the United States about individuals' ability to keep their email and other online accounts secret from their school, employer, or government authorities. A number of prospective employees have complained that they were forced to hand over their passwords to Facebook and Twitter when applying for jobs. Now, I don't know whether or not you heard it. I heard this story last week. And this is, they're talking about doing this when you apply to a job, saying, hey, look, we want access to your Facebook and Twitter accounts so that we can look at them before we hire you to find out what it is that you're blogging online.
I heard about this, and this is so ridiculous.
Well, you know, of course you have the option to walk away and say, look, I don't want this job if I have to give up that kind of personal information. But nonetheless, there are stories out there. In the Minnesota case, a 12-year-old girl known only as RS is said to have been punished by teachers at a Minnesota area middle school for things she wrote on Facebook while she was at home and using her own computer. The ACLU is arguing that her First and Fourth Amendment rights, which protect freedom of speech and freedom from illegal searches, respectively, were violated. She is said to have been punished with detention after using Facebook to criticize a school hall monitor, and again after a fellow student told teachers that she had discussed sex online. Now, legal papers filed by the ACLU say that RS was intimidated, frightened, humiliated, and sobbing while she was detained in a small schoolroom, while school staff and a sheriff's deputy read her private messages. It went on, RS was extremely nervous and being called out of class and being interrogated. The lawsuit says that the mother of RS has not given permission for the viewing. The spokesman for the school district said the district is confident that once all of the facts come to light, The district's conduct will be found to be reasonable and appropriate. The case highlights growing concern in the U.S. about the extent to which supposedly private communications can be kept from those in authority. The ACLU recently forced the Department of Corrections in Maryland to stop requiring applicants to provide their Facebook passwords when applying for jobs. The union claims job seekers are now asked to voluntarily log into their accounts during interviews, displaying potentially embarrassing photographs and messages. Most comply because they are afraid that they will otherwise miss out on the job. Now, see, that's where I have the problem, because I almost feel like it's a form of extortion.
I mean, they can't. Listen, what I do in my private life is my private life. I understand some secret jobs, you know, you work for the government, you do this, you do that. They interview people you work. I mean, they interview your neighbors. They interview everybody you work with. They go and get your school, your transcripts from school, from college, whatever. They delve all into your life. I understand that for those types of jobs.
But if you blog it, if you blog it, it then becomes public.
Not if you have a private account, though, JC. I mean, I have a private account. You can only talk to me or see my postings if you are a friend of mine. I mean, that's the beauty of Facebook.
That makes a huge difference. But then again, Reese, I mean, you have to also look on Facebook as well, because you can blog, but you have to choose who do you want to see what it is that you're blogging. If not, it can very well go out to everyone.
Well, Facebook is your social network, for that matter. So you understand what I'm saying? Like, as a social network, like my website, ReeseOnTheRadio.com, that anyone can log on and see. But my Facebook page is, in essence, it's like my personal phone book or my personal...
Right. But it also, it's open to everyone on Facebook. Well, it's pretty much accessible to everyone on Facebook, except for those that you allow in to actually view your profile. But when you're blogging, if you look over in the corner of your blog and ask you who do you want to see this, you hit the little tab, and it gives you choices of whether you want just those of your friends list, the general public.
Or you want it public. Right.
Okay, yeah, but what does this have to do with the fact that regardless of what your choices are, these employers are asking you to log into your own account? So they're going to
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think an employer should have a right to your Facebook account just to see what kind of individual that you are before hiring you. But when you are blogging, and we're talking about the internet here, and more so even Facebook. I mean, look at Facebook in itself. There are more people on Facebook than there were 100 years ago.
Of course. I mean, I knew Facebook was blowing up when my mother got a Facebook account. When my mother signed up for a Facebook account, I was like, what is going on? And I have friends that were using it way before I ever even used it, and they were like, you have to get a Facebook account. And when I did it, I was amazed. I mean, the people that, you know, people out there that I was able to get in touch with.
Well, this is an interesting part of this story. At the end of the story, it reads that a recent investigation that was done by MSNBC found that many university sports departments now require students to friend their coach, giving officials access to their friends only posts.
What?
Yeah, the University of North Carolina handbook reads, each team must identify at least one coach or administrator who is responsible for having access to and regularly monitoring the content of the team members' social networking sites and postings. The athletic department also reserves the right to have other staff members monitor athletes' posts. Now, a university, I can understand that, especially
really?
If you're in an athletic department. No, the athletic department is completely different, because now you're dealing with a brand. I would also agree with this if this were the NBA. If you are dealing
if you're going to say that, you're dealing with this as a brand, right?
Right.
So wait a minute. So most people that are seeking employment or work or whatever, a lot of people do list their employer on their Facebook page. So now you're representing a brand as
well. Well, then I wouldn't do that. See, that's, again, but you have that option on Facebook. And see, here, listen to what I'm saying. This is a slippery slope. I understand that. But think about what it is that I'm saying. As you collecting a paycheck from the NBA, the NBA in and of itself has an image to uphold. Just recently, a player, in fact, it was a Jeffries from the New York Knicks, was fined $25,000 by the NBA. He took a picture on his Twitter account of his girlfriend sitting in front of him while he was watching TV, and the picture was of his girlfriend's posterior as she sat in front of him. She was lying on bed. She only had a top. She had no panties on, and her bare behind was there in front of in front of the TV.
Well, he and posted it on Facebook.
He posted it on Twitter. But again,
why?
Because he was making a joke about how big her behind was and how she was blocking the TV. So, but
and he said he couldn't watch TV that way, right?
Yeah, he said he couldn't. Right. He said he couldn't watch TV because I guess it was distracting him or whatever it was. It was supposed to be funny.
No. There's more to that story, Reese.
Please go on. Did he? Well, there was some language in the article as well. I mean,
that was an NBA player, correct?
Yes, that was Jeffries. I forget his last name, or his first name.
Right. That was a stab and a slap to Joe Buttons because that was Joe Buttons' girlfriend.
Was it?
And it says I'm now done with her.
Oh, okay. Well, what does the NBA have to do with that story? Well, that's just another side of the story. I mean, that's another component of the story. But the NBA, for that matter, thought that because, of course, as a representative of an NBA team, and clearly people are following him because he's an NBA player, that this, of course, shines some light towards the NBA that they don't want because it's explicit. You know, of course, it's sexually explicit. That's the reason why it was fine. So for that matter, I can understand. Now, if you work for Morgan Stanley and, you know, you're a pencil pusher there, what you do on your Facebook page or your Twitter account, that is your business, unless you are what's considered marquee for that matter. You know, then, it of course, has some ramifications, or it should. That's what I'm saying.
But why should it? Why do we have, It never had before, so why now?
But again, I'm not saying my personal life is my personal life. Business, no, you're absolutely right. The business is, and again, like I said, I agree with you, but this sort of peters on both sides. If you're a baseball player or a sports figure, for that matter, especially if you...
Well, but that's still your job. It's still your employer. You can't say, okay, certain employers can ask you to do this, but others can't. If you're a baseball player and your job is working for the New York Yankees and you're getting paid millions of dollars,
but there's one way to solve this whole problem. I've already got a way to figure out how to solve it.
Hold on. Let me respond to you and now give your response, JC, as far as how to solve it. This is what it is that I'm saying. If I'm Albert Pujols, right,
mm-hmm.
and I open up a Twitter account. More than likely, I am opening up my Twitter account for people, fans, or people who follow baseball to follow my Twitter account.
They encourage you to do that.
Now, that being said, because you garner attention to what? To the team.
And to yourself. It's a win-win situation.
Right. Okay, now, I decide I'm Albert Pujols, and I want to make some comments about white guys who play baseball. Some derogatory statements on it because I'm ticked off at something political or something that's social on that. And I want to give my opinion about it. And I offend someone with that posting. Now, is it a private thing for me to say, or is it my right to say? Sure, it's my right. It's 100% my right to say so. But as an employer, if I believe that what it is that you say is demeaning to a certain group or disrespectful to a particular group or insensitive, then yes, I have every right to fine you for it because you are using, yes, you are Albert Pujols and your private thoughts and your personal feelings are your own. But if it's under the guise of you being a baseball player, then there are other ramifications that are applied to that. Now, as a private citizen working at Morgan Stanley, working at, you know, AT&T, working at wherever it is that you work at, and you want to have that discussion with you and your friends and you guys are rambling on, blah, 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 even if you go on YouTube and you post some I hate black people, you know, posting on what's it, and you leave that private to the people who are on your
site, of people who are privately on your site, then look, that's your private business. If somebody else gets a hold of that and it becomes public and it violated your personal space, yeah, you have every right to ask for compensation for that violation. That's what I'm saying. But as a public figure, because that's who these basketball players are, these baseball players, whoever they are public figures. They make their money through the public. But if you make your money privately, or if you work privately, no, of course your personal space and your personal posting should not be violated. What's this? What did you have to solve this problem, JC?
I'm trying to get in here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't let me in for a second. Do like I do. I have two Facebook accounts.
Right. Two separate accounts. Right.
I have two separate accounts. One I would use for, I mean, not me personally, but as an NBA player, I would use one where I would identify myself as the NBA player. And then I would put up, I'd have my own separate private account for me and my friends and my family, which is what most people do.
Right. And again, that's true, because I wouldn't be breaking any important news that affected my family on my public page, so to speak. Sure, you should have a private account that you can go into and deal with private matters. That should always be the case, which makes 100%. So, in 100% sense. So, again,
I'd go ahead and give them the password and everything all day, every time. It's a public account.
Right. Anyway,
maybe
Yahoo.
They were protecting their brand.
Right. Another story that involves Facebook. Yahoo on Monday made good on its promise to sue Facebook, alleging in a complaint that Facebook violated 10 patents related to online advertising. The complaint, filed in the U.S. District Court in San Jose, California, makes the case that Yahoo innovated on several fronts, including messaging, news feed generation, social commenting, advertising display, and preventing click fraud and privacy control. Facebook was not launched until 2004, 10 years after Yahoo was founded. The complaint reads, Facebook has since grown to be one of the most widely trafficked sites on the Internet. That growth, however, has been based in large part on Facebook's use of Yahoo's patented technology. The complaint also quotes Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg as acknowledging that getting there first is not what it's all about. Further on, it states Facebook's entire social network model, which allows users to create profiles for and connect with, among other things, persons and businesses, is based on Yahoo's patented social networking technology. Yahoo suits, which seeks unspecified damages, comes at an awkward time for Facebook, and you said this, look at that. The social networking giant is expected to launch an IPO this May to raise $5 billion. Yahoo, meanwhile, risks being seen as desperately engaging in patent trolling as its revenues and market share continue to slip. The suit comes after Yahoo and Facebook were apparently unable to work out an agreement over the issue. Yahoo was in talks with Facebook over its patent claims last month, according to a report in the New York Times. At the time, Yahoo was threatening a lawsuit if Facebook didn't pay licensing fees, according to the report. So, I don't know. It looks like a strong possibility that they could really, really lose that, which I believe is good. They failed to reach a settlement deal. I believe Mark Zuckerberg, if I know what it is that I know about him, and not just from the movie The Social Network, but from the way that he has handled business in the past, I believe he's going to fight this tooth and nail. He's got the money, and he's got the lawyers to back him. He's going to fight this all the way in the court. They couldn't reach a settlement deal.
And he's about to have people creating separate accounts for their possibly new employer.
Yeah, so
they're about to double and triple what they already have.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months to see how well Yahoo does. It also must be known that...
I don't know about that one, though. I believe Yahoo's going to win this one.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I think Yahoo is going to win this one.
Okay.
They're well within their grasp of winning this, but I know
that that Mark Zuckerberg in no way is going to sit idly by and let this just happen. That's why he wouldn't settle out of court. So I know that's definitely not going to happen.
Who's going to be the big one out of this one?
Who's that?
Google. Google.
Yeah, well, Google has its own, you know, networking.
Got its own thing going. Yeah.
Got its own thing going. It's quiet, though. It's quiet. They've been doing some advertising, but they've been extremely quiet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're waiting for Facebook to go the way of MySpace.
Well, they haven't said anything about this, but...
Yeah, but they're not...
...about the lawsuit, but they...
They have their own social networking site as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. But they've been quiet about that. I mean, it hasn't been getting the noise that... Google is the ultimate search engine. I mean, no one's ever going to beat that, you know, unless Facebook decides to merge with them. So, which
I just found a company that built social networking sites, and I'm actually considering one myself.
A social networking site?
Yeah.
Make your own social networking
thing? I don't know. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, you can right now on Ning. You can make one on Ning. But I'm talking about one with my own brand without the Ning brand on it. This one is totally mine.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more news, more views when we return. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice
Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning Our Future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Minutes after the hour on Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Number is 347-308-8701. You guys hear about this massacre that took place in Afghanistan? Well, now there's a report saying that possible brain injury suffering from post-traumatic stress disorders.
PTSD.
Is what it is they're calling it. So, of course, they're saying that some 9 children, some women, were also killed in this melee. I got to say one thing before I go into this last thing. And let me spend a little time on this. So, as I'm watching the news, this is unfolding. And look, I criticize the media often. The one thing that I know that the media is going to say about this is that they believe that the American people have what's called such a moral compass that something like this is unthinkable. There we 100% agree. As Americans, we do have a moral compass. And to murder innocents, women, children, men, boy, whomever, is a disgusting, despicable thing to do. What I don't like about this is the constant rhetoric that Afghans, Taliban, Al-Qaeda is going to retaliate behind this shooting. Truth be told, if no American ever killed anyone in an Afghan village, never shot and killed a soul, never drew a gun, the enemies of the United States would still shoot, kill, stab, burn, ignite themselves, blow up Americans. So this rhetoric about the retaliation of Al-Qaeda, it didn't take this for them to retaliate. They're not looking at this going, oh, we're going to kill the Americans now because of this one guy who shot all these people. That's not what they're thinking. They were going to kill us anyway. So I wish that they would stop spinning the story that people are responding to something. We are at war with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, not because of something vicious that the American people did. And trying to drum up this narrative that Americans are somehow responsible for the war with Al-Qaeda is bull. So what this man did was wrong. What this man did was unthinkable. I won't deal with any excuses about how he was dealing or feeling mentally, whether or not he was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't care. He had been deployed to Afghanistan 4 times. Maybe that did a number on him, but I am not going to blanket this over the entire U.S. military. By no means. And this isn't a case of one bad apple spoiling a whole bunch. But don't let people spin a narrative for you. Yes, this is awful that it happened. But Al-Qaeda is still our enemy. And for obvious reasons, not because of this. It's that simple. Court-martialed the guy, you know, if you got to, put him to death. But don't use him in some sort of way as a catalyst to the behavior by those savages who are not only willing to kill themselves, but to kill some of their own people. See, I don't care whether or not this guy killed 14 people, because what Al-Qaeda is willing to do in order to kill Americans is they'll kill hundreds, if not thousands, of their own people in the name of Allah. They don't care how many of their own people they kill. And for Pete's sake, they'll do it at their own mosque. They'll purposely kill anyone who they consider infidels, who share their same blood, their same background, their same way of life, who live in their same country. So please don't try to separate this. That is a joke. And anybody who thinks otherwise is a clown. So, to Diane Sawyer, to Brian Williams, to what's this guy, Steve, hey, whatever, no one's watching you at CBS anyway. To each and every one of you, you know better. And telling the American people this garbage, you should be ashamed of yourselves. We're going to court-martial the guy, we're definitely going to put him to death, and that's the way it should be done. But don't try to turn people against the military, and damn sure don't try to turn them against the mission. I don't want to hear another person talking about how we need to get out of Afghanistan. Because if we leave there, who else are they going to kill in Al-Qaeda? Those Al-Qaeda people, who else are they going to kill? Who do you think that when we leave, they decide they're no longer going to kill anybody? You think they're no longer going to be bombing themselves? You don't think they're going to be strapping bombs to their waistlines? Who do you think American presence? They weren't doing it before the Americans got there. Did you really think that? What a short, stupid memory you have. That's the end of my monologue.
Well, you know, and now, and even now, they're going to be doing it in American GI clothing. Anything to make themselves look like they're heroes to the Afghan people.
Absolutely.
And make the United States look bad.
I'm so sick and tired of people putting on camera these Afghan people talking about, oh, we thought America was our friend, but they're no longer our friend, they're my enemy. Look, I don't care about these people. If you decide over the acts of one person that America is your enemy, you are just as racist as anybody that you would normally chide for the same behavior. So a black guy robs you and the black people are your enemy? So white guy slaps your wife and all white people are the vicious, most vicious people in the world. In this country, that's the first thing we would say, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the first thing we would say. You blame one person for everything? They go around, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, they were the ones who completely eviscerated Bill O'Reilly for saying that Muslims took down the buildings on 9/11. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't damn a whole group for one group for 11 guys' actions. Well, what the hell are the Afghan people doing behind one man's action? What are they doing?
They walked off the set, didn't they?
Exactly. A very valid point if I ever heard one.
Oh, wow.
We'll take a break. When we come back, eavesdropping with your cell phone. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my head! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
On the radio, we're back 38 minutes after the hours on this 12th of March 2012. Got about 21 minutes left in the game. I will make an announcement at the end of the week. It would either be a positive message or a negative message. That all depends on what happens on Friday. I have not told anybody about it. I've not told Mary. I have not told JC. And I'm not telling you, so don't ask. I'm not telling you, but I have I would consider it a serious announcement to make on Friday. And again, it will either be a good one or a bad one, depending on your perspective. But I will be making that announcement right here on Friday during the show. So we'll make the announcement roughly around 7:30 into the show. So. If you wait for that, please. What?
An announcement.
An announcement.
Good or bad?
I don't even know about it.
No, you don't even know about it, and no, nobody knows about it. But I decided today that I would make the announcement, and it's about time that I do. So I'm going to make it on Friday. So stick around, tell your friends. Major announcement. It does involve the show. It does involve me. And I'll make that announcement on Friday, about 7:30. So stick around, tell your friends. It will be somewhat relevant if you, of course, enjoy Reese on the radio.
You know what you look like right now?
What?
One of those puppets from Frank Yankers. You keep bobbing your head up and down.
It's kind of a bot. It's a Fozzie Bear thing that I do. I'll never.
Oh my God! Don't say that.
It's my favorite Muppet.
Wow.
Kind of a stupid little thing that I picked up when I was a kid. You know?
can't help it. You guys got me talking about my personal life a little too much today.
I didn't. Hey.
Talking about my heartbreak and my girl leaving me. Love Boat is not a girly show.
The Love Boat was a girly show.
It was not!
The Love Boat. The name
it was on Friday nights opposite the Hulk, and you were watching the Love Boat.
It wasn't on opposite the Hulk. I watched the Hulk. Okay? After
I thought the Hulk came on Friday nights.
I watched the Hulk. I watched the Dukes of Hazzard too.
You know why you watched the Hazzard.
That was Thursday night, I believe.
You thought I watched it for Catherine Bach? I wasn't a man. I was a little boy. I was crazy about the talk. General Lee.
Me? I watched The Young and the Restless faithfully.
We know you were watching The Young and the Restless.
I was looking up something the other night, and I said, oh, I was going to and I looked at it. I was going down, I saw you and the rest of us, but I bet y'all know what it
is. She's always attacking you on the girly shows you watch, my friend. Yeah, you got a lot of nerve.
It helps me with relationship therapy.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sort of an unlicensed relationship therapist.
I'll never ever agree with it or believe in it. Nonetheless, a judge rules in Illinois that the eavesdropping law is unconstitutional for a second time in a year. Story comes out of Springfield, Illinois, and reported by the Associated Press. An Illinois law against recording conversations was ruled unconstitutional for a second time this past year, and the same judge has struck it down. Cook County Judge Stanley Sachs declared that the law is unconstitutional Friday, saying it went too far and could make wholly innocent conduct illegal. Ruling comes from a case of Christopher Drew, who's an artist who was arrested back in 2009 for selling his work on a downtown Chicago street without a permit. Police charged Drew with violating the eavesdropping law after learning he recorded conversations during the arrest. Drew said on Friday that he's happy with Judge Sachs' decision, said the law should let people gather information about police conduct in public. This was what the ruling was based upon. In essence, what they were trying to say is, you get pulled over by the police or a police action, whatever it is, protest or whatever it is. You pull out your cell phone to record the incident because the police may become unruly. They were actually trying to get a law passed, and this was a police union action to get you charged with recording the police doing their job, saying that what you were doing was breaking. It's an eavesdropping law. That was the whole deal. Now,
but they're recording you the whole time.
Exactly what the argument is. If they pull you over, they have a dash cam. But see, again, this again puts the police in the driver's seat, in essence saying that government having more power than its people. And where else would they be wanting to put this other than Chicago? Probably one of the most liberal states with the exception of New York and Massachusetts, and extremely corrupt. But that's pretty much the deal, what they're trying to do. It's been struck down twice so far. Anyway, otherwise, you need to come out with a big camera rolling, and they're already pulled their pants up. Drew's attorney, Joshua Kutnick, says that Sachs rejected Drew's claim that he had a First Amendment right to gather information on police. Instead, he said the judge ruled that the law's restrictions were simply too broad. The decision comes as state lawmakers considered legislation to revamp the eavesdropping statute and permit the recording of public officials on duty in public places. There is no immediate word from the Cook County State's Attorney or the Illinois Attorney General on whether the ruling will be appealed. A similar ruling issued by a Crawford County judge in September has already been appealed by the Illinois Supreme Court. Kutnick and the legislators meant to protect individual privacy, but went too far. Compared the law, to one struck down by the Illinois Supreme Court back in 2008. The law barred secret compartments in vehicles that could hide weapons. The court said it was flawed because it also criminalized harmless use from hiding jewelry or
documents. Why would they ask you to do that? Anyway, the attorney argued Illinois should change its law so that anyone taking part in a conversation can record it. That would still protect people from having outsiders tape their conversations. I think the state of Illinois is finally starting to come around. Anyway, but the bottom line is saying that if you are in, now, look, of course, you can't record somebody in a bathroom. No, you can't peek through somebody's window and record them. That is a violation of their personal space. But if you are in the street and you see somebody walking down a block and you are having a conversation with them and you say, hey, listen, before we talk, I'd like to record it, you can. Which brings me to this topic. I did an interview with Jessica Heslop of the Boston Herald a couple of weeks ago. Before I had the conversation with her, I simply said to her, I'm recording this, which I must do by law. I am recording this. I finished the conversation. I recorded it. We hung up the phone. I got a phone call back 5 minutes later. Her exact words were, you're not going to broadcast this on the air, are you? I said, I have no intention, unless your reporting is inaccurate. That simple. Which is what I suggest most people to do. I'm sorry to say it, but we live in that world. Record everything. Especially from people that you don't trust. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you think you may know, record everything. Now, why do I suggest this? And how far should you go? Let me make this clear. Record everything. You got a daughter? You got a son? Record them. Audio. Everything they say. Everything they do. Record it. You have to.
What kind of
world? I don't trust them. I don't trust them, nor should you. You think you should trust your kids? I don't trust them. Why should you trust them? Kids are inherently deviant. You wouldn't record your children?
Probably not.
But I would have to. Remember, if the kid said something, then he can tell you, he's like, I never said that. Yes, you did. April 4th, 2010. Here it is, you are right here, explaining yourself. Your words, right?
That's your voice, right?
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Record everything. Because then, you're insured.
Your kids are the ones that you don't trust. That's the one you don't trust the most.
They're the ones I can't trust the most.
No, you can't.
I can't trust them the most. Because they're kids. They're inherently deep. They're born to lie. Yes, they are. Because they're selfish individuals. They only give a damn about what they want, what they can get. They know nothing.
How many times you see a cute baby, you take a toy, he smacks your hand and tell you, mine, 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 mine.
That's right.
They're always out for themselves.
They're always out for themselves.
Survival.
Protect them from themselves. Because all they do is want and take. That's what kids do.
Yeah, that's the truth. And they're closest to your heart, and they'll play with it.
I'll let the two of you morons decide this for less.
Women are the biggest offenders of this. How often do you hear a man berating a woman about his feelings and how his feelings need to be protected? You never hear a woman go, listen, baby, I'm doing this because I don't want you to have bad feelings. No. No, 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 no. All she ever talks about is how she feels, how she's hurting. And then when you want to talk about you, it's not about you. These people are very self-serving. Women and children. That's the reason why they go first. Women and children first. Because it's all about them. You self-serving bastards. Men are always the last in line. They get no damn respect. None whatsoever. So tell me, I'm telling you now, heed my warning.
Record.
Heed my goddamn warning. Heed my warnings, ladies and gentlemen. You make sure you record everything. Protect yourself, damn it. Because they will get you.
CYA, even with your spouse.
What's that?
Even with your spouse, record them.
Even, you're damn right, especially with your spouse.
Yeah.
She'll get you in a court of law. That's exactly
right. Yeah, right behind your kids.
Damn right, right behind your kids. Telling all tales out of school. Lying. We'll be back.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
We're back. It's Reese on the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Just under 7 minutes before the top of the hour.
Liars, petty thieves, abusers.
What's that?
I said liars, petty thieves, abusers.
You're clearly talking about women and children.
Yeah, send them to the store with your money. You never get your change back.
Yeah, never ever.
Petty thief.
They are
petty thief.
That's exactly who they are.
I'm sorry, go on, I'm sorry.
That's all right. The number is 347-308-8701. We got some very, very sad news to report. Unfortunately, Peyton Manning is not even coming anywhere near the Northeast. A paper is now revealing that there are contract talks with Peyton Manning to go to a team. It will not be the Jets. Very, 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 very saddened by this. Mary, what did you say?
It's the Cardinals.
No, it won't be the Cardinals. That's not what the report is saying. Sorry. The team that Peyton Manning might be going to is going to be removing... I mean, there's no other way that I can do this. Because, I have to drag this on because I have to play this sound effect. I just have to do it. Because my heart is breaking. Almost official, ladies and gentlemen.
might be leaving the Denver Broncos. Because a paper is now reporting that Peyton Manning may indeed be signing with the team. Tim Tebow is now in Florida. What he's doing there, I don't know. But my boy, Tim Tebow, who incidentally, nobody has even challenged me, right? Everybody says, I want Peyton Manning to be a Jet. I want Peyton Manning to come to the New York Jets. He's not coming to the Jets. I'm disappointed by it. Tim Tebow. I'm talking about how unfair it is that he's going to be kicked off. Not one of you has bothered to say, hey, Reese, why don't you want Tim Tebow to come to New York? Why don't I want him to come to New York? Not going to happen.
Maybe you can sign with the Marlins.
He could play for the Marlins. Baseball team.
Oh, is that baseball?
I leave the sports to the professionals.
I'll go away. I'll go away.
Yes. Anyway. Anyway. Yeah. So my guy, he's going to be gone. Tim Tebow. I just wanted him to play somewhere. I rooted for the guy. I read this great GQ article about him. It was the GQ cover story. It really, really made me fall in love with the guy. Just a good humanitarian, good guy, great heart, great soul. And you root for a guy like that. You hope that you can really, really see a guy like that prosper, and you want him to. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, stick around for the show. I didn't want to play it today, although I could have monopolized time to talk about it. A story that I got over the weekend, of course, from our good friend, the Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, is about a woman by the name of Hazel Jones. I'll give you a little teaser.
With uterus didelphus, a medical condition which is thought to affect around 1 in 3,000 women. It means that she has two vaginas.
But Hazel's condition is even more complicated, making her 1 in 1,000,000. She's here to explain, along with Dr. Dawn Harper. And we read through this morning going, no, it is extraordinary, but for you.
So that's the story, Miss Hazel Jones, when we come back tomorrow.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did I hear correctly?
That's correct. I'll play it again.
With uterus didelphus, a medical condition which is thought to affect around 1 in 3,000 women. It means that she has two vaginas.
But Hazel's...
That's the story. Hazel Jones, okay, has two vaginas. We'll spend a lot of time on that tomorrow. And who were in that situation. That's right. Hazel Jones, a beautiful young lady.
One for work, one for breeding.
Yeah, well, it gets a little different than that. She's got, she's been made offers from certain industries. And we'll talk about what exactly those industries are. We'll play the whole piece. It's about an 8-minute interview. We'll do that tomorrow. Make sure that you tune in. It is Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will see you then. We hope you will join us. Have a good one. Goodbye, love folks.
Exciting and new, come aboard. We're expecting you and love. Life's sweetest reward, let it flow. It floats back to you.